everything starts happening. It never fails. I got a cough. I got bronchitis. Had to go over and help Pauline quite a bit. Oh, well, that's... So I'm sucking on a lot of cough drops right now. So, man. Yeah. Somebody yesterday told me that they knew somebody that cough lasted for 3 months. I go, 3 months? No. But, oh, well. Well, what I'm going to speak on the kind of continuation of the four Gospels, because I've really been enjoying that. Now, last time I spoke in Sunday school, I did part of the beginning and part of Matthew, and some people might not have heard it, so I thought I'd give a brief review. You know, the four Gospels, there's four animal offerings in the Old Testament. You know, the burnt offering, the peace, the sin, and the trespass offering. Now, Matthew gives a trespass offering, making amends for the disobedience of Adam. And Mark is a sin offering, Christ was being made sin for us. And Luke is a peace offering, which God and man have brought together in fellowship. And John is the burnt offering, wholly burnt to God, a sweet savor in his surrender to death. And also and Matthew shows him as the king. The king is, he never gets up to the common people like me, you know, the lowly people. He's, about as close as I can get, about as far as him from here to Washington. And Matthew shows him as king, and Mark shows him as a laborer. That's something because Mark was the unfaithful laborer, but he shows him as a laborer, the faithful laborer. And then Luke shows him as a man, And then John shows him as God. And in Revelation 4, 6, and 7, there are four cherubic figures, and they have four heads on them. And one head is a lion, and that corresponds with Matthew, the kingly lion. And another head is an ox, or a calf, or an ox. And that's Mark, and he shows it as labor, because that's what an ox does. It pulls, it labors. And then the other head is a man, and that's Luke. And then the other head is an eagle, and that is John, because the eagle speaks of heavenly people. They're flying way up there. They put their nest way up behind the mountain. That's where they are. And so that was kind of the introduction. And then there are five divisions in the book of Matthew, the birth of the king, chapters 1 and 2. And the introduction of the king and the kingdom in chapter 3 to 7. And the mystery, the ministry of the king, chapters 8 to 12. And the rejection of the king is chapter 13 to 25. And the last one is the death and resurrection of the king in chapters 26 through 28. So I went over most of that, most of the birth and the introduction. I'd like to go to chapter 8. Now, I'm not going through every verse, I'm taking, certain verses out, and help to show him that Matthew shows him as the king. And in chapter 8 of Matthew, we'll start reading verse 1. It says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And here, now spiritually speaking, these leprosy is a sin. Spiritually speaking, the leper talks of man as a sinner. And, and we have to, as a sinner, we have to come to Christ and say, you can heal us. We have to come to him, and like this leper did, and Jesus will make us clean. And in verse 4, "And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And I guess in this chapter, there's three different healings. And we're looking at them dispensationally. First, to the nation of Israel. Jesus redeemed the Jew. The law witnesses to the effectiveness of the redemption. The law, you know, the Jews were under the law. It wasn't given to us Gentiles. But the Jew was under the law, and the law showed up sin. That's what it was here for. And it did its job. The law's perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. But man can't keep it. You know, the law showed up sin. This leper had to go to the priest and show himself to the priest. The law was a witness to the effectiveness of that redemption. The law was fully satisfied that redemption. You know, the law could not find anything wrong, you know, when God heals, you know, saves man. You know, the law is satisfied. And in, let's read in 5-8. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievous tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Now here, this is the second dispensationally speaking, because this is a Gentile. This centurion is a Gentile. He's a Roman centurion. He's in the Roman army. And Jesus is going to the Gentiles during this age. You know, during this age, he's come to the Gentiles. And Jesus is blessing people today. And he speaks, and the word is done. Okay. And in verse 10, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And then after this, this is the third one, and then after this age, Christ will turn back to the nation of Israel. You know, some people say that he's done with Israel. You know, he's fed up, he's done with them. Well, he turned to the Gentiles for a while, but he's going to turn back to the nation of Israel. And right now they are sick of a fever, and he will heal that nation of Israel, and the Jews will minister, and then the Jews will go out and minister to the other nations. And look in chapter 9, read verse 1, and it entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying in bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Okay, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And here, now, when Adam and Eve were in the garden before they sinned, there was no sickness. There was no, you know, there was no thorns or anything like that. And when sin came, when sin was entered in, then sickness and all this other came into the world. So, let's see. The sickness and disease is a result of the sins. Not that these people sin, but because of sin entered into the world. Some people think that, you know, oh, you're sick, well, you did something wrong and God's punishing you for it. Well, that's not true. And there are no sickness and disease until sickness and disease was a result of sin when man failed. Failed, not failed. Okay. Get my pages here. I better put them down here. Yeah. And in verse 9 chapter 9, and Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and said unto him, follow me. And he rose up and followed him. Matthew was a publican. That means he was a tax collector. And the Jews hated the the tax collector with a passion. What I they took money from Israel and gave it to the Roman government, and then how they got paid is anything above that, that was what they got paid. So they could charge you whatever they wanted, and anything above what the Roman government wanted, they put in their pocket. And I heard that some of them had some pretty wealthy pockets, you know. Matthew's name means a gift of Jehovah, and he proclaimed the real gift of Jehovah, Jesus Christ. And you know, a lot of people, you know, wonder why he picked Matthew. Well, he knows why he picked Matthew. He looks in the heart. So in verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Okay, verse 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not called to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it, he comes, you know, Jesus came to those people in need. You know, and the Pharisees, they thought they were so self-sufficient, they didn't need Jesus. You know, and there's a lot of people like that today, even people. You know, they think, well, you know, they don't, they're doing good, you know, they got a good job, they don't need Jesus, you know. And that's, but people, you know, but Jesus, he looks at the heart, you know, and he picks the one that he wants. And said, Jesus is not looking for our sacrifice and thanks, because he said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You know, he's not looking for our sacrifice that we do. He, you know, we just come to him and ask for to be forgiveness of sins and to be saved, and he saves us. He has mercy on us. And in verse 16, no man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. A piece of new cloth, said that speaks of the righteousness of the law. There was nothing wrong with the law, but it could do nothing with the old garment or the old man. It showed what the old creation was, just law that showed up sin. And in verse 17, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Here, you know, the new wine speaks of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, God don't put new wine into this old body. You know, when we're saved, we became a new creation. And he puts the wine into the new creation. Some people say that when you're saved, you get filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. Well, that can't be. You might get filled an hour later or that same day or but you're still a new creation when you get filled. So if you got saved and filled at the same hour, I mean the same second or instant, he'd be putting new wine into an old bottle, and that is just, you know, that just wouldn't work. Okay, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, and come and lay thy hand on her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Let's see. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, if I may but touch his garments, I shall be whole. And 22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now the Gospel of Mark and Luke, more about this, it said in I think it's Mark 5, and as far as the human there's more said about this as far as the human element goes. In Mark 5, is you'll find this one too. Matthew presents Christ, very little is said about him and the people of a lower class, you know, because the king didn't associate with people of the low class, you know. So not too much is said about this, you know, just this. And Mark and Luke, they go into a little different. Some people could say that, you know, they read this and they read Mark and they say a little different word. Well, one's saying one view and the other saying another view. So naturally they're going to be a little set from that view, you know. But they're still the same, you know. There's no difference. They don't contradict each other. Verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." And then he touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And not too much conversation is said about this. It just gives the account, and Jesus heals the blind man. That's about all it says. And you'll have to, you know. So this is showing it from where Christ is King, you know. And don't go too much into the where Christ getting around the little people like me. And in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now he does teaching, and then preaching, and then healing, in that order. Preachers today want to do the healing for the show, and they want to do teaching, and very little is for teaching. You know, that's one thing I really appreciate this church. They teach, you know, and that is what they should be doing, is teaching. Like in here, Jesus went about the village teaching in the synagogues, and then preaching, and then healing. So that's one thing I do love about this church, is they teach. And let's go to chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then verse 6 and 7. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here the kingdom is teaching, kingdom age is teaching to Israel. Go to the house of Israel. He told them not to go to the Gentiles in verse 5. Go not into the way of the Gentiles and to any city of the Samaritans, but ye enter. I didn't read verse 5, no wonder. But he tells the people not to go to the Gentiles, but to go to the house of Israel, because in the kingdom teaching, they go to Israel. And in verse 25, it says, it is enough for the disciples that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? And here it says, Jesus is teaching them they're going to suffer because of the message that they give. And most of them, that they did. You know, they suffer. Even, you know, because of the message that they were preaching, you know, they suffered. And I think John is the only one that wasn't crucified. He died on the Isle of Patmos. Is that right? Yeah. So they all do what? Okay. And even as, you know, this shows, even as Christ was going to suffer. In chapter 11, in verse 12, And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Through 15. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if he will, and if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And this is the violence that was done in those times. You know, there was great violence, and the violence in the world is getting worse today. You know, we're lucky that we don't, as Christians, we don't have to suffer yet, but the way it's looking, it very well could turn. This used to be a Christian nation, and it don't look like it is anymore. You know, it's... Yes, it is. And that's the people in charge. Then in verse 20, it says, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Here we find that the nation did not repent. You know, we know that there were a few individuals that accepted Christ, but most of them, as a nation, they never received Christ. And in verse 25, says, all that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast bid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. And we are babes. You know, the ones, and this is what Jesus has done for us. He has revealed his word unto babes, and we're babes, you know. And in verse 28 through 30, there came unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here, Israel was heavy laden with the law at this time. The yoke of the law is a pretty hard, but Christ's yoke is easy. This is a fulfillment of Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. And in chapter 12, let's see, in verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And this is the unforgivable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And I guess Jesus said this after the Pharisees accused him of healing and casting out devils by the power of Satan. You go back up here and they accused, they said that he was doing that by the power of Satan, and they said that is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, because he did it by the Spirit, and that's how he did it, you know. And said, you know, if he did it, would have done it by devils, then that was Satan was denying the power of the cross. You didn't need God, you know. You didn't need the cross. It was not. But in verse 32, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And said, you know, you could speak against the Son of Man, you know, you use his name in vain, and he will be forgiven. My dad went to Georgia, you know, when I was a kid. Dad took a job with the Colonial Pipeline. A bunch of oil companies went together, put into what's called the Colonial Pipeline, went up through the southern states, and said, got down there, and I guess they said, boy, all the men would not go against this. They wouldn't even work around this one guy. And Dad said, well, why not? He says, God's going to strike him dead. Because I guess something go wrong, he'd get up and he'd shake his hand, fist up there and cuss at God. I go, whoa. I never seen anybody do that. But Dad says, ooh, I might stay away from him too. but even he, you know, he can be forgiven. You know, even that guy. But when the denying the conviction of the Holy Spirit and not accepting what he says, that is the unforgivable sin. That, you know, because the Holy Spirit brings us to conviction, and that's who does it. And when you deny that and go against him, you know, that you know, that's it. That's there's no forgiveness for that. And in chapters 13 through 25, record the rejection of the king. And in verse 1 of chapter 13, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Here he went out of the house. He went out of the house of Israel. And he sat by the seaside. So he was between Israel and the Gentiles. And in these things are the parables. Now, Erlene's already covered the parables, and in Bible school, we covered the parables in doctrine, and I have the copies of those. If anybody wants them, I can make them copies back here. So I'm not going to go over those because we've already been over them. And in chapter 14, verse 1, it said, at that time Herod, Tetrarch. Heard of the name of Jesus. And this is where John the Baptist is going to be beheaded. And in verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Here Jesus is going out of the cities, and you know, not everyone accepted Jesus, you know, so he had to go out of the cities to do it. And in 17 through 20, and they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. They had 2 fishes and 5 loaves, and at the end they had 12 baskets full. Dispensationally speaking, the gospel is going forth today to everyone, or the multitude. You know, it's going forth to anyone that will listen. You know, it's for everybody. We must receive from the hand of Jesus before we can give it to anyone else. Here it says, Jesus, they had to bring it to Jesus first, and he had to bless it. So you have to get your teaching first before, you know, you can't just get saved and then automatically go up and start preaching, you know. And, you know, in Galatians 1, we see where Paul was 3 years in the desert being taught of God. So, and it says the 12 baskets full show that there will be plenty left at the end of this age for the 12 tribes. And then in chapter 15, verse 21 through 22, it says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. verse 20, but he doesn't answer her. Here, she calls him. No. She's out of the Canaan, so she's a Gentile, and she has no right to call him the son of David. She placed herself with the commonwealth of Israel. She was not of Israel. She's a Gentile. She was trying to claim the blessings of God on a basis that was not hers. Okay, and 23 said, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he said unto her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Here she's kind of changing her attitude. You know, she didn't call him the son, but she does call him Lord. So she is changing her attitude, and says, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even now. So she had to take the position as a dog, you know, as a lowly dog, you know, and went, because he is king, he is way up here, and she is basically nothing. You know, so, and she's a Gentile, and he came to the house of Israel, so she had to take the place of a dog, you know, lowliest, and then he could help her. Okay. In verse, and in chapter 16 and 17, we'll go to verse 28. And it says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And then chapter 17 is the transfiguration. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Now here in chapter 17, 1 through 8, I think it is, you know, this is a fulfillment of verse 28 in chapter 16. They see the Son of Man taking his place in the kingdom. You know, he is a... It says, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as light. So they saw him. And the 6 days speaks of the 6 days that they were. Oh, let's see, where was it? Yeah, okay, in chapter 1, the 6 days, you know, speaks of the church age. This is the foretaste of the kingdom. You know, this is what saw. And in verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Then said Peter, and then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one of thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. So I guess in Luke, it says that the disciples, that Peter, they woke, they were awakened, they were in a sleep. But it don't say that here. So it's kind of the different view that they're looking at. And Moses represents the law. You know, he's the one that gave the law. And Elijah represents the prophets. Both of these only point to Christ. Both the prophets and the law only pointed to Christ. You know, that's from Genesis to Revelation. That's speaks of Christ, you know, the prophets. When I first went to Bible school, I thought Isaiah was one of the most boring books I've ever heard. And then Sister Geezer started talking and said, oh, wow, ooh, Oh, that's interesting. Oh, and now I really love to hear the book of Isaiah. But Peter was going to put all three of these on the same plane, and God would not allow it because he interrupted him and said, "Behold, this is my son in whom I am well pleased." So he would not, you know, Peter was going to put all three, Elijah, Jesus, and Moses on the same plane. And God wouldn't have none of it. It just can't be none. I think some churches put everybody up ahead of Christ. And in verse 8, "And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." So here, you know, they no one could put anything on the same plane as Jesus. He is, you know, which, you know, they shouldn't. But that's about all I got. So, anybody have any comments or?